This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
A busy show to start off your week. Representative Shauna Bullock, Ryan Gerdusky. Plus, we're going to talk with Arizona Communications Director Ben Peterson for the RNC. The Jeff Horovitz Show starts now. All right, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today from Camp Verde, beautiful Camp Verde. Olivia is here with me as well. Hope everyone had a great weekend.
It's very beautiful here, but incredibly hot.
Hot and humid, yeah.
So it's like jump in the pool or be inside.
Yeah. Don't do that. What a storm yesterday. I was actually talking with the folks over at Gettles earlier in the day, and they're kind of on the west side of Camp Verde, and I'm on the very east side of Camp Verde. They didn't get that storm like we got. We got like 2 inches of rain.
It was crazy. I would have thought it was everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, it's rain and like hail, giant hail, like ice cubes falling from the sky, and the wind, like branches were falling everywhere.
Toto.
We were all like a little bit like
little basket. Yeah, it was. It really came down, and I was concerned. We had branches picking up everywhere. So, and I know up in Flagstaff, I talked with my dad. We'll be back up there probably tomorrow or so. My dad was saying in the burn scar area, they had like boulders actually wash across the road from all of that, and it like they had to bring in heavy equipment. It looked like there was no road there in existence. For all that crap that washed down. So crazy stuff. We've got a busy program for you today. We are going to talk with Representative Shauna Bullock. She's also running for Secretary of State. Believe it or not, there's been some reports of irregularity when it comes to some of the ballots heading out there. I want to know from you if you have experienced this, if you've gotten a ballot that is odd. And let me explain what I mean by odd. Of all the people to get an odd ballot, it's someone that I know. So I wonder what the odds are that there's more of these situations out there. Former State Representative Bob Thorpe sent me a text over the weekend, and he showed me his ballot, and it had all the city elections on there.
And he doesn't live in the city.
No, he doesn't live in the city. He lives in the county, in Coconino County, and his ballot, he's voting. Well, I don't know what he's doing, if he's going to fill it out or not, but he has the option on the back of his ballot to vote for the city candidates. He doesn't live in the city. So I started thinking, it's like, what are the odds of someone that I know pretty close getting this ballot that's messed up? And we hear there's no problems with our elections, right? And here we are, Coconino County. He gets the wrong ballot, or he gets a ballot that was printed wrong. Whatever the situation was, how many more cases of this are out there?
And I've always been like, yeah, it's the mail, so...
But they don't print the ballot.
Happen, but
no, but this
when
was,
it's also being like when it's printed, when it's also wrong, you're like double the chance of something
this was
being
printed
wrong.
I mean, you have 90% of these ballots going out by mail now. It was simply they sent him the wrong ballot. So if you've gotten the wrong ballot, I'd like to hear from you. Send me an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Anyway, we'll talk with Representative Shauna Bullock about elections, since an election irregularities, and what are we doing about improving our election system and securing our elections going forward, because she's running for Secretary of State. Ryan Gerdusky is joining us, and he's an author, writer on Substack. He's got this great article that came out last week. I reached out to him, and he's going to talk about kind of the long shots when it comes to the potential Senate and House seats going forward, plus what are the odds of a flip in the House, a flip in the Senate. So Ryan Gerdusky joins us, an Arizona Communications Director for the Republican National Committee. Ben Peterson's going to join us. We'll dial it in real local here with some of these races and what we should expect, especially August 3rd coming up. And we'd love to hear from you. The Just Wireless listener line is open.
877-971-3971.
I should clarify that. It's open for you to leave your comments today. Wednesday, we'll try to take your calls live and get you on air. But leave your comments today. 877-971-3971. 877-971-3971. I want to mention our first sponsor of the day and of the week, and that's Mammoth Restoration. Save this number. I hope you don't need it, but when you do, you need to use the best. And look, they will clean it. They will restore it. They'll get it right. Give Mammoth Restoration a call or save that number for 24 24/7, 365-day-a-year emergency services, 877-714-0050. They will do water extraction. They'll do the drying, all of that stuff, mold remediation, smoke deodorization, fire and soot cleanup. They'll take care of, quite frankly, the things that nobody likes to do. Write down this number for Mammoth Restoration and save it for, you never know when this stuff's going to happen. You never know when you're going to have a flood or when you're going to have some animal, like 300 bats leaving all the guano behind. It's pretty nasty. They'll take care of all of those biohazards. 877-714-0050. That's 877-714-0050. Let's get to some of my top news picks for the day before we get to all of our guests. Article from Bloomberg here. Rents in the U.S. rise at fastest pace since 1986, buoying inflation. So this is an index that measures rent of a primary residence. It was up 0.8% in June than the month before. An acceleration from the 0.6% increase recorded in May, according to the Labor Department's report on consumer prices. In the 12 months through June, rents were up 5.8%. So we know this, but these numbers are not accurate because a third of this data relies on surveys that the government does when they're calling people. Owners equivalent rent is called, and homeowners and stuff try to guess and tell the person doing the survey, I know you're not renting your home, but if you were to rent your home, what would it be? And what does the, quite frankly, average homeowner who's not in the rental market know about the rental market? So these prices are a lot lower because if you were to sell a lot of these homes that have gone up tremendously in value over the past few years, they would demand a much higher rent. So it's gone up a lot. Now, there's nearly 836,000 multifamily units are under construction across the U.S., supposedly the most since 1973. That's according to Jay Parsons, the chief economist at RealPage. But most of the new construction targets higher income tenants and not the lower end. And the lower end is where the supply shortages are the biggest right now. So I don't see any relief in sight for that. I talked to a good friend of mine, and I think many of you know him, and I think he'll be on the program perhaps next Wednesday because he's going to come through Flagstaff. I think next Wednesday we'll have Jerry Neighbors. I'm going to reach out to Bob Thorpe, and I'm going to reach out, or the person I talked to over the weekend was Stuart McDaniel. And you know Stuart, Olivia, and Stuart's been living on and off in Arizona, splitting his time between LA and Arizona for like the past year, 2 years. Anyway, he was telling me he's finally leaving LA next week. Like his lease is up and he's gone.
About
he's packing
time,
the car.
I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is just in time, and we'll get his perspectives next week. But I mention this because Los Angeles officially enters CDC's high COVID community level and mask mandate countdown begins. This was an article from like Friday or Saturday or something too. They were saying then that they're now on a 2-week countdown to requiring a universal mandatory indoor mask wearing mandate once again throughout LA County. Can you imagine that?
Oh, wow. And I was almost as optimistic as to say, oh my gosh, 2 weeks until they take them off.
No. They want to put them back on. So they're in a countdown right now to go back to these masks that don't work.
How exciting.
So it'd be interesting to have Stuart back on. And it was interesting to talk to him about how crazy it's gotten over there in California. Speaking of crazy cities, this is an article from Fox News. Quick headline here. Mayor Bowser is that D.C.? D.C., I think, got cut off here. Claims illegal immigrants crowding. Yeah, D.C. homeless shelters are asylum seekers tricked onto buses. This is after Texas Governor Greg Abbott has been busing illegal immigrants to the nation's capital since May. So she's complaining about all the illegals that are there crowding up the homeless shelters, which is just really, really seriously. I mean, here in Arizona, towns in Arizona where there's like 5,000 people, or even Yuma, which is a bigger town, their mayors have been screaming about this for the past 2 years, saying, we can't take all this. Our social systems are strapped. We can't fit them into homeless shelters, on and on. So as soon as you ship them to D.C., to these leftist-run cities, they're like, hey, there's a problem here. And she's saying that they were tricked onto the bus. And maybe they're tricked across the border, too. I have no idea. Yeah. Love your thoughts. Email's always open, Olivia. Give out the email. We'd love to hear from folks.
TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com.
You're laughing That's over there. So.
TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. If you want to know why I'm laughing, it's because somebody is dancing behind your back while you're not looking.
I don't see. I don't have the cameras here down in Camp Verde, so I don't have situational awareness. This was a gift to you, Olivia, from our friends at Gettles High Desert Mechanical. And here you go. It's a nice water bottle. We are going to have some giveaways this week. We're going to have like our monster giveaway coming up. It was Ted over at Gettles. I met with him earlier today. They're coming on next month as a sponsor, but I was excited to get you this. And then I'm excited to add them to our giveaway. Not today, but you stay tuned. They've got a really nice giveaway that we'll include in this package coming up. But I had a great time meeting with another great Northern Arizona company, Gettles, High Desert Mechanical. We're stepping up the giveaway this week.
Yeah, Let's start it off right now.
Let me mark here where I left off here. Crazy mayors. Okay, go on.
Our idea is to add something every day so it'll get more and more exciting.
Bigger and bigger. More and better.
We're not going just this week. We're going until next Wednesday. Okay. So you have a longer time to enter.
So it'll be like a super prize.
Yes, there'll be stuff for every day by the end.
Okay. So first of all, our giveaway is you have to go to talkwithjeff.com, and then what do you do?
Under sponsors and giveaway, which can be at the top or under a drop-down list. It's super easy. There should be a place under there where you can enter. And it's so easy, so quick. Just your like name, your email, and a short comment.
Give us a comment. Yeah, we want to share those comments.
And then you're entered.
You're entered. Okay.
And so our first.
What are we starting off with? Let me stress, we're going to add to it every day. So this is our first thing that we're going to add in there. One winner next Wednesday. I'm sorry, next Thursday, but we're going to do the cutoff next Wednesday at the end of the show.
So get it in by then.
So you got to get in one entry per person, please.
Our first one is something I think a lot of people will like.
Yes.
It's Timberline Firearms and Training. It's about $35 value package. It's range time and a firearm rental.
Okay, great. $35 value here. So Timberline Firearms and Training, 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall, threw in this for range time, and that includes a firearm rental as well. Does not include the ammunition, though, because, I mean, that could get crazy, right? You're there for hours and all of a sudden it's like $1,000 expense. So anyway, they're the first ones in. Go to talkwithjeff.com, click on sponsors and giveaways, and we'll get you entered in there. Like I said, one person, one entry per person. You could have five people in your household, though 10, you could all enter. Olivia's going to sort this out. The Indiana shopping mall shooter was shot dead. I'm sure you've heard about this by now over the weekend, by armed, quote-unquote, Good Samaritan, according to the police. An article from Fox News. At least four people, including the shooter, are dead, and others are injured following a shooting at a shopping mall in the suburbs of Indianapolis, according to local reports. Greenwood Chief James Eisen said a Good Samaritan with a handgun at the scene killed the shooter. He said two others were wounded and are being treated in the area hospitals. And I think I just wanted to point this out as another example of how do you stop a crazy person with a gun? You have good people with guns and firearms. And
that's exactly what I was going to say with the people who are like, oh, nobody should have guns.
Yes.
I mean, look at examples like that. The bad person's still going to have a gun.
Perfect example. Bad
person. Somebody else take it down?
Yeah. Bad person had a gun. A good person had a gun. They stopped it and they, you know, probably changed the situation. It's still a horrible situation, but changed it into something that didn't escalate even further. And this is interesting because, first of all, you got to be able to protect yourself. And we saw the situation, and here's another article, Daily Wire. Egregious poor decision-making. Nearly 400 cops gathered at Uvalde school before anyone did anything. And it's just like, sometimes this situation, look, most time law enforcement responds and they do a very good job. It looks like the Uvalde situation was an absolute, it was an absolute disaster. And the situation with the police was an absolute disaster, according to a report compiled by Texas House Committee, the Texas House Committee that detailed a series of missteps on a number of fronts, from the shooter's family failing to identify warning signs to the school's apparent habit of leaving doors unlocked or popped open. But the strongest condemnation was reserved for law enforcement officers who arrived on the scene and then waited to act for over an hour. Hundreds sat there for an hour. So tying these two stories together, you got the Indiana shopping mall incident this weekend where a good person stopped a crazy person with a gun, and then you have Uvalde where maybe if someone was armed there, it would have been a totally different outcome. We don't know. We can't go back in the time machine, but I say that these no gun areas, you can't be armed in these areas. I'm forgetting the exact wording on that. Absolutely horrible idea to have. You can't bring a gun in here. Well, it makes it a target. I'd love your thoughts though. 877-9713-971. You can leave your comments anytime. 877-9713-971. One more here before we get to our guest in the next segment, with his Substack article, Ryan Gradusky, on the kind of the long shots coming up here in the Senate and the House. Manchin is a no. Another article from Fox News. Senator Joe Manchin and his staff told Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer late last week that he is only willing to support a reconciliation bill in August that includes a provision to lower prescription drug prices and a two-year extension of subsidies and a two-year extension of subsidies for Affordable Care Act, according to the Democrat. He's saying that he's not going to support the continued pumping of money that went on with the government and all the money that they pumped into the system. As I'm distracted here, it's a little more distracting in this studio.
So many windows.
Yeah, right, exactly. So anyway, it looks like Manchin once again is going to stop really bad policy and from making the situation even worse. All right, love to hear from you. The email is talkwithjeff@icloud.com. The Just Wireless listener line where you can leave your comments is 877-9713-971. Sponsor is Namarco Pizza. And you know what? They've got great specials at Namarco's Pizza. Lunch specials from 11 to 2 Monday through Friday. So catch that this week. You know, I love Namarco's. Olivia loves Namarco's. Best pizza. Period. What's your favorite slice?
I don't know. It depends on the day.
Well, if you were to get it right now, because they've got a lot of options, especially their lunch specials. It's not just like you just pepperoni or cheese. They've got pretty much a spread of almost
right now,
anything.
I do kind of just feel like pepperoni.
Just pepperoni,
then.
Plain old pepperoni. All right. Well, if you want a pizza from Namarco's, you can easily order for curbside pickup or delivery, 928-779-0024. That's 928-779-0024. You can also order online easily at namarcospizza.com. That's NIMARCOS, namarcospizza.com. We've got 3 locations in Flagstaff, so super easy to find. Check out my friends at Namarco's Pizza, and don't forget to tell them that I sent you. All right, hang tight. A lot more to come. Back in just a minute. All right, welcome back. Jeff Horvitz here. Olivia, standing by for your email comments. Give it that out again.
talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Leave us comments, questions, that kind of thing. talkwithjeff@icloud.com.
And don't forget about our giveaway, which is going to grow and grow and grow.
Until it is huge and you'll really want
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're going to want to get in on this. We got Timberline Firearms and Training doing that range time and gun rental, and we'll be adding more as the week grows. Even some potential cash type equivalent type things coming up this week. So go to talkwithjeff.com, click on sponsors and giveaways, and sign up for that. Coming up in just a second, we got from National Populist Newsletter, and he's a writer on Substack. We're going to talk about some of these long shots around the nation on the Senate race, the House race. Ryan Gradusky will join us. Sponsor is WT Wealth Management. Glenn Lease will be one of our many guests coming up this week. I told you we've got Carrie Lake coming up. We got Carrie Lake coming back tomorrow because there's a Trump rally in Prescott Valley that was canceled last week, and this one's rescheduled for Friday. Carrie Lake, a candidate for governor, obviously, is going to talk about that. Congressman Paul Gosar is going to be with us. George Califf tomorrow. He'll tell you how many ballots have come in Arizona so far with all these mail-in ballots out there. Anyway, WT Wealth Management, one of my guests this week will be a market update from Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management. Give Glenn a call. I'll give you a free no-obligation consultation at 928-225-2474. That's 928-225-2474. Like I said, no obligation. And Glenn is plain spoken. He'll tell you he'll tell you the issues that we're dealing with right now with interest rates, inflation, the stock market. We've talked precious metals as well. We've talked chickens, which we might need to start trading and transacting here coming up.
Chickens are very important.
New currency. Yeah, absolutely. So give Glenn a call at 928-225-2474. All right, Ryan Gradusky is with us. He is a writer on Substack. Ryan, hey, welcome. How are you doing today?
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Can you help me out, though, real quick? I know what Substack is, but there may be folks out there listening. You're with National Populist Newsletter. What exactly is Substack? It's a bunch of writers all in one platform. Talk about that real quick.
So basically, it's a place. I used to write for a major news outlet, and oftentimes I was getting my articles censored or re-edited or rechanged. So finally, Substack created a platform where you could subscribe to individual writers, and you could just go directly to them and get all their information unedited. As they put it out there. So
okay.
It depends on who your favorite writer is, Barry Weiss, Ann Coulter, Glenn Greenwald, myself. My Substack is called the National Populist Substack. I usually focus either on politics or on the ideas and principles of national populism.
Okay, so we can get stuff outside the so-called mainstream media and try to make sense of the craziness that's going on without being censored.
Yeah, and you're completely on... completely uncensored, so yeah. It's great.
Good, okay.
And they don't censor conservatives either. It's one of the few platforms on the internet that does not push conservatives off their platform.
Yeah, I mean, I had to leave so many social media sites the past couple of years just because I say something and they're like, oh, no, you can't say that. Of course, they're saying a lot of that stuff now themselves, even Fauci, not to get onto another subject, but geez. And you're in New York, huh?
Yes, I'm a New Yorker.
Pretty crazy there still right now. A buddy of mine in L.A. has said it's still crazy there.
No, New York has been a lot calm for over a year now. People kind of believe that it was like, ongoing with the masks and stuff like that. But we dropped that a long, long time ago. It's been pretty normal for over a year now. I mean, crime has risen, but not nearly as high as other places in the country. So it's not terrible.
All right. Well, Ryan, you had an article on the long shots. And as you know, we're in Arizona. And I caught you on Clay and Buck's show here like last week and reached out to you because you kind of went around the country. I'll kind of start where they did, too, if people weren't listening to them last week. What do you see as the odds of the Senate flip versus House flip? What do you see coming forward? Then maybe we'll get into some of the individual races.
Well, the Senate is basically, the House, rather, is basically a slam dunk. It's a 90% chance Republicans pick it up. The Senate is 50-50. The Senate depends a lot on your state of Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, neighboring state of Nevada, New Hampshire, and Pennsylvania, four of which are currently have a Democrat. Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, and New Hampshire have Democrats. Pennsylvania has an outgoing Republican. And those five seats will declare who the winner of the Senate is. Now, if it's a bigger wavier than what polls are saying, then maybe Republicans can be competitive in a place like Colorado. But those are the five big ones for sure.
Okay. How do you see, let's stick to the Senate side. Obviously, I'm in the thick of it here every day watching this primary battle. Is there a candidate that's this tips it more than the other? I mean, what do you see here in Arizona on the Senate side?
I think that Blake Masters is the likely winner of the primary. He's got certain things that are certainly to his advantage. He's a younger person. I think he's my age, or he's a little younger than me. He's a younger person. He brings new ideas. I think that he would really shake up the establishment. If that's what you care about, then that's what obviously is something to lean on. Brnovich is somebody who's been elected now more than once. He's been elected statewide twice. That's great for somebody with that kind of experience. But, you know, it's Brnovich, it was his campaign really to lose in the primary, and he managed to lose. He's losing it pretty badly. And Jim Lehman, a wealthy guy with a very powerful consulting firm behind him, as far as I'm concerned. And that's really where the whole race lays.
Okay. So Blake Masters is, I know President Trump's coming out. We have Carrie Lake tomorrow. Trump's coming out. And Blake Masters will be at that event on Friday. Actually, Blake Masters is going to be back on the show Thursday since his last time he was on in that I had an interview with him that went absolutely viral nationally, Ryan. And he hasn't been back yet, so I'm looking forward to it. He is a young guy. I'd say he's in his early 30s.
He's in his early 30s.
Yeah. So we'll see. Do you think will that be an issue? Because he's going to go up against Mark Kelly, the astronaut. And I know you're not in the state, but if you just look at the commercials or whatever, the ads on YouTube, for example, Mark Kelly always plays the cool guy on the motorcycle. I'm a pilot. I'm an astronaut.
Yeah.
I mean, is it a hard? Is it a hard? Yeah. No. Yeah. Exactly. Is it a hard play though between Kelly and Masters?
Kelly's going to be the most well-funded candidate probably this cycle. He might have upwards of close to, you know, $75 or $60 million going his way. It's going to be the most expensive campaign for sure. And Blake Masters, I saw the debate. I know he swears a lot. If he's able to sit there and woo enough voters out of, you know, the second congressional and the fourth congressional in those suburban and the suburban Phoenix areas, I think that he can win it, especially in a wave year. He talks about the right issues. They lack discipline in messaging, but who knows? I mean, you grow up a lot on a campaign trail. I've seen a lot of first-time candidates who just excel after the primary.
Yeah, and he definitely has been cutting his teeth. I mean, again, go back to the interview I did with him. Folks can get that at talkwithjeff.com. I'm sure probably won't say those things. I don't know, though. He speaks his mind. Okay, let's look at, and we're talking with Ryan.
And your governor's race is very close, too. I mean,
yeah, what do you think about that from the outside?
I mean, from the outside, listen, I think Carrie Lake is a great public speaker. I mean, she's been on broadcasting for a very, very long time, but she has been making mistake after mistake after mistake on the campaign trail. It's really been shocking. I don't know who's running her campaign or who's running her account, but she's had several big flops in a row, which are not good.
Yeah.
And her opponent has the backing of former Governor Brewer, who's, you know, she's no moderate. Governor Brewer was, you know, she was Trump before there was a Donald Trump. And I think that Robertson, I think her name. And I think that she definitely is giving her run for her money. I think that if I was putting money on the race, I would bet against Carrie Lake and for Blake Masters.
Okay, coming out of the primary, you're talking. And we'll see. There's some polling data that came out, but what is that worth, I guess? A lot of times these candidates are getting them.
Well, there's that undecidable, that 8% that wait until election day who they're going to vote for, that always decides these kinds of elections.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's switch to the House side. You mentioned some of the Senate. You think the House is a shoe in for the Republicans?
I would say about 90% chance.
Okay, and I think so too. I mean, it definitely should be. What about here in Arizona? I mean, is it going to hinge on Arizona? Is there anything in particular?
I mean, Arizona Republicans are likely to pick up at least 2 seats, which is Arizona's second, which is Tom O'Halloran's seat up in Northeast Arizona. It's a huge district, so it's more than just Northeast. But, and then Ann Kirkpatrick's district right south of that in Arizona 6. And if it's a big enough wave year, Greg Stanton is definitely in trouble. He is not at all in an easy position to win this reelection, for sure. I mean, he's definitely, and I would say Republicans probably have, there is probably more of a likelihood that Republicans end up with over 250 congressional seats, which would be the most amount, I think, in 100 years, than there is of Democrats actually even winning the House.
Wow. They should, for the disaster the country's in.
There are less and less toss districts. So given the fact that so many districts have been, you know, gerrymandered or people moved to districts that are leaning in their direction politically, it's shocking that they're even that able to sway. But there's easily a chance that they can get up over 250 seats, a very good chance, as good of a chance as Democrats even retaining the House.
Okay. And just Tom O'Halloran is my congressman. I've never seen him. We've sent a lot of requests for him to come on the program. We hear from Congressman Biggs every like 2-3 weeks. Never heard from Congressman Tom O'Halloran, a 10-point Republican district now. And then Kirkpatrick, she used to be representative up here, and then she went down to Southern Arizona, but of course she's gone. Go ahead.
Yeah, she's definitely gone.
Yeah, yeah. So,
sure.
Okay.
She's not going to survive.
Any others around the country that you're... Well, you're in Ocasio-Cortez's neck of the woods, maybe.
No, I am not.
You're not.
I'm not.
Okay.
No, people make that. My congressman's a little Chinese lady named Grace Meng, who no one ever hears from. Her most famous thing is that she got mugged in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
That's the most famous thing she's known for. She doesn't. No one knows who she is.
Okay.
And she just is a standard Democrat, but I don't live in AOC.
Any chances of any of these cities that we hear about, and you can pick one around the country, or not cities, but districts, changing, whether it be a Senate side or a district side, a race side, a House side, going away that's like unpredicted? This is normally a Democrat area.
Well, this is the point of the long shot. The long shot, our op-ed in the National Populist Substack, which you could subscribe to on Substack.com, is looking at the races that you would never, I mean, they're not super far left, but they seem without reach. So one race in particular, too, I looked at in New England was Alan Fung in Rhode Island's 2nd Congressional. That's the western side of Rhode Island. Alan Fung had run for governor twice, lost, but he won that western side. And then George Hansel, who is a mayor in western New Hampshire, he's running New Hampshire's 2nd Congressional. Now, Rhode Island hasn't sent a Republican to Congress in decades, New Hampshire since 2010. So New Hampshire's 2nd Congressional, rather, since 2010. So those aren't the most easy to pick up seats in New England. Maine's 2nd Congressional, New Hampshire's 1st, and Connecticut, District in Connecticut are much easier. But if there's a wave, Republicans could look at 6 districts in New England. There's also, we talk about the Hispanic movement of Hispanics. Everyone wants to talk about that. If there's a real movement of Hispanic voters, you won't just see it in maybe like a place you'd expect, like Nevada or Arizona or Southern Florida or Southern Texas, but the Central Valley of California. There are 3 seats in the Central Valley. One is represented by a Republican, David Valdeo. 2 are represented by Democrats. If Tom Patti comes out winning in California's 9th district on Election Day, it will be because the Hispanic change among working class, blue collar, non-college educated Hispanics is huge, and it's propelling candidates in districts where Republicans, once again, haven't won in decades. One more in California, which is Scott Ball. He's running against Katie Porter. Katie Porter is one of the largest fundraising magnates in the House of Representatives. She raises millions of dollars for Democrats. She's probably going to be a future statewide candidate if she's not defeated in California. She's in Orange County. She's in a former Republican seat. It could easily flip. Over in the northwest of the United States, there are right now 4 Republicans in Oregon and Washington, 4 congressional Republicans elected currently. There are 4 more seats that are competitive this time because the election wave may be the largest. One is a guy named Alex Scalartos. He's in Oregon's 4th congressional district, which is southwest Oregon. He's running in an open seat. He was the subject of Clint Eastwood's movie, The 1517 to Paris. America. Yeah. He was the one who stopped the terrorist attack from happening. Wow. He's running, ran once previously. And if he carries that seat, it's likely the Republicans are carrying 2 or 3 seats in the Pacific Northwest. So I think that these little seats seem to have a larger trend where if they have these long shots, it's because we're picking up, you know, 3 or 4 seats out of New England. We're picking up 2 or 3 seats out of the Pacific Northwest. Area Republicans really haven't been competitive in a long time. And what I always say is the problem for Republicans this cycle versus 2010 or 2014, but mostly 2010 in the House, is that there was a lot of low-hanging fruit in the House. Back in 2010, you know, Mississippi had 3 elected Democrats and 1 Republican. Alabama had a ton of elected Democrats. So did Texas. So did Georgia. All of these rural, old school blue collar Democrats that were, you know, pretty right wing on immigration and trade, they're all gone now. All those Republican seats have, for the most part, with the exception of a handful here or there, are all Republican now. If Republicans want to see gigantic, momentous change in the House of Representatives, it's going to come out of California, Oregon, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Illinois. The tougher areas is where Republicans can expect to see gains that are large enough to maintain them and to win them. They'll be in Biden districts. They might be more liberal Republicans. However, they're going to give the majority to the overall conference, which will be able to stop the Biden agenda.
Okay. Yeah, and people are so frustrated in a lot of these rural areas. And I've had a lot of people call in over the years, Ryan, and say, you know, the Democrat Party left me. There's no room for even a moderate stance now in the party, it seems. So people are, we'll see if they're jumping ship, especially in the areas you mentioned.
Yeah. No, it's very, very important. I mean, listen, as Democrats have gained in the suburbs, which they have really since the year 2000, they've been gaining little by little in the suburbs in the last few elections. It's really gone into overdrive. Republicans are countering them having these gigantic turnouts out of rural areas. I mean, 90%, 80% in some areas. And then they're trying to counter them now with having this working class multiracial coalition. If Hispanics are moving, and if enough white suburbanites who maybe didn't like Trump for his tweets but are now looking at their checkbook and saying this is really rough, if they come home, enough of them, or they look at the crime, the issue that kept suburban white suburbanites Republican was taxes and crime. Taxes, crime, and schools, really. And Democrats have blown it, especially progressives, on all three issues. So if there was ever a time to bring them back into the fold, it would be now.
Yeah.
The demographic changes have been so severe in some places that I don't think that even with if white college educated people who voted for Mitt Romney came back, there would be enough of a swing, like the Atlanta suburbs, for instance. Atlanta suburbs, when George Bush ran in 2004, were 66% white. They are now 31% white. I mean, massive ethnic demographic changes that you really can't change. And that's why immigration, I always say, is the most important issue, because allowing who votes in the next election affects every other issue.
Okay. Ryan, I appreciate the update. Great article. And I encourage people to go to Substack and sign up, subscribe. National Populist Newsletter, Ryan Gradusky. We'll probably talk with you again maybe after this primary. Appreciate it.
Yeah, love it. Thank you.
Absolutely. And folks, we'd love to hear from you. Send in comments. Email is perfect. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. You can also chime in on the Just Wireless listener line, 877-9713-971. Still have Representative Bullock coming up. Talk about the election. Talk about election integrity. And we'll also talk with someone from the Republican National Committee, the Arizona director, here in just a few. Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona, sponsor for this segment of the show. And did you know that Gutter Helmet, it's the number one gutter protection company in the world? And Gutter Helmet's not just a screen, it's a multi-patented reverse curve that deflects all the pine needle, and they've got over 40 years of experience. Never clean your gutters again. Call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet man, right now. He'll give you a quote. And hey, mention the show. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. Get up to 30% off. Call or text right now. Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona, 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555. Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona, 928-318-6555. Back in a minute. All right, folks, welcome back. Jeff Horvitz here. Love to hear from you. The Just Wireless listener line's open, 877-971-3971. We are going to talk with Representative Shauna Bullock. We've pushed her off to the second hour of the show just to allow enough time. We went a little long with Ryan. I thought that was great information from Ryan Gradusky. Can I get the words out, Olivia?
Sometimes stuck. It's hard to pronounce.
Yeah,
I find it's annoying when you have a, like, kind of like ours, everybody misspells it.
Yeah, well, it's a nightmare. By the way, when you look up the Jeff Horvitz Show podcast, it's spelled O-R-A-V-I-T-S. Yeah, and it's free. Please subscribe. A lot of people have done that, and appreciate everyone who's come on board. Sponsors, SunState Tech, and, you know, we all love living in Arizona, but our world, our companies and municipalities, they're operating in a global economy. You need to make sure that, first of all, cybersecurity issues are taken care of, and SunState Tech, they've been doing just that. They've been since 2007, making sure and helping Arizona businesses and municipalities operate quickly and safely, because they handle that cybersecurity. They do the managed IT services, voice over IP, and much more. Go to sunstatetech.com today. You can learn more and you can take advantage of their free, no obligation technology risk assessment. Once again, go to sunstatetech.com and you can they'll take care of you, and they'll look at your systems and do that technology risk assessment. Very, very important. Let's see here. Continuing on with a couple of other news items that we did not get to in the last hour. This is more of a local one, and it has to do with the Flagstaff Unified School District. I was reading an article over the weekend, and Olivia used to go to the Flagstaff Unified School District. And then the
such great times.
Northern Preparatory Academy School, and now Flagstaff Christian School, which we've been very happy with, which you got to go back to in less than 2 weeks.
Which I'm not so happy with.
Or maybe it's 2 weeks today. Is it 2 weeks today or is it something like that? It's soon.
Just please don't
yeah,
tell
sorry,
me.
Depressing you. But I just have in my notes here that they're still out of their mind with the COVID stuff. FUSD continues to waste our time and drum up mass hysteria with this COVID stuff. And
no
I know,
surprise there.
Yeah, so they can't do the mask mandate anymore in schools. They can't do the vaccination. They can't do vaccination requirements, anything like that. Luckily, state law was passed, which disallows this crap from happening. However, I think they're going to really push and kind of harass the kids coming in. Those are my words. They're going to be, wear your mask, here's your mask, here's your mask. Because I think if we hadn't had these state checks in place, these protections of our liberties, where they can't force you to wear a mask, which was so stupid in the schools, they would have voted to do a mask mandate coming up without a doubt.
Sure.
Because the numbers are spiking, and I mean, I hear more and more people getting it, but it is what it is. Jeez, come on. But anyway, they, according to the Daily Sun article, I guess they had a meeting, they will continue using mitigation strategies such as spacing classroom furniture. So they're still spacing
They're still doing this.
Limiting shared materials. Cootie stuff. Encouraging technology for group work and placing. So like you're going to be in a class and you're going to be like looking at your classmates on the screen.
Oh, I had to do that.
You did that. This is stupid. So they're still doing this stuff in these schools. Last week, I don't know if you heard, but I fully got behind and I voted for Cherise Sapir for Superintendent of Public Instruction, because she wants to be in charge of public instruction for Arizona, but she's fully fine with full school choice. She's behind the empowerment scholarship account, so you can get your kids out of these bad schools when they go crazy like this. But anyway, the district's cleaning protocols are outlined in the plan, and they include baseline and high touch area cleaning. Okay, that's fine. On a daily and weekly basis, respectively, as well as the use of hydroxyl generator when someone becomes sick or receives a positive COVID test. Sounds like iron lung from the back in the day. Okay, district plans to continue offering masks. Here's the thing. District, this is Flagstaff Unified School District we're talking about, plans to continue offering masks and vaccinations, including boosters at the school sites, which my wife heard that, and she was like, that would concern me because, you know, well, they got to get parental permission, and they better. By the way, Navajo Nation still has public health orders in place that require masks in school buildings. So if you're going down to the Loop School District, you're gonna need those masks there. So that's continuing on. The data doesn't reflect the reality that these people live in. Average, and my wife Angela looked this up, average of two previous school years, 2020 and 21, was like 183 cases per week for the same time frame. They're having a case spike right now, but it just doesn't warrant the issue. There's no deaths under the age of 18. There's 48 total. Let's see, 28 were 65 and over. There's 48 total deaths that's happened. 28 were 65 and over. And the county doesn't break down whether it's a 90-year-old, and I don't want anyone to die, but they're still not breaking down is it a 90-year-old or is it a 65-year-old that died? And what other ailments did they have? So again, watch what your schools are doing. That's why I think the superintendent of public instruction race is so very important coming forward. And full school choice is super important going forward. The empowerment scholarship accounts. We'll probably get into that a little bit next hour two of the show coming up. Talk with Representative Shauna Bullock, who's running for Secretary of State. And we'll get talk about some what election integrity bills have made it through. And we also have Arizona Communications Director Ben Peterson with the RNC. We're going to talk some real local statewide politics. So stick around for that. Send in your comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Let's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. And Olivia, we got this giveaway, so go to talkwithjeff.com.
Enter.
Sponsors and giveaways. Enter your info.
And we'll get you in. We're going to add one every day, so you definitely want to be in.
We'll pump it up. We'll pump it up. All right. Hang tight. We'll be back in a few minutes. We'll talk with Representative Bollock. And we'll get to some of your comments as well. Back in just a few.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, hour two of the show. Let's talk with Representative Shauna Bollock, who's also running for Arizona Secretary of State. Plus, get to some of your comments. Another hour of the show starts now. Welcome back. Jeff Horowitz here from beautiful Camp Verde. We'll be back in the studio in Flagstaff tomorrow. Beautiful, except for yesterday with that downpour. If you weren't with us last hour.
I know, hail and wind. It was crazy.
I had a bucket out there, and it was like 2.5 inches of rain. It's like a half hour.
It was a very short period.
It just came down, branches down, all that. But we'll take it. It's better than the alternative. I know it's too much, always too much at once. It was kind of weird because my son Owen was, and were you out there fishing as well?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, and we heard this noise coming. We were right on West Clear Creek and heard this noise coming. I thought it was the leaves rustling. This was after the storm. You heard it too. It wasn't the leaves.
We were down at the creek and we like basically witnessed a flash flood right in front of our eyes, sweeping in front of us all these sticks and stuff in it. Super muddy water.
It can happen super fast. That's why you got to watch these washes and stuff. It happened up at my dad's house, which is in the kind of the timberline area as well. They actually had to bring in heavy equipment because of the burn scar that came down. There was just boulders all over the place. So, yeah, we either don't get enough or we get too much, right?
That's perfectly calm, and then it was gushing.
Yep, gushing. So don't drive in those washes. That's where the tragedies can happen. Sponsors, Nova Home Loans. Give Kim Dawson a call. I worked with her, did an excellent job. If you're looking to do a refinance, she can help you out. Rates are still low, I mean, but they're talking about raising them possibly another point here to try to combat the inflation that the government largely caused. So they'll raise the interest rates. And who knows how much they'll have to raise it. We don't know where this is going. So if you've been holding off on refinancing, you might want to give Kim Dawson over at Nova Home Loans a call right now. Plus, if you're buying a home, she'll help you out with that as well. Give her a call, 928-310-6458. That's 928-310-6458. Or you can go to novahomeloans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411, Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242. Equal housing opportunity subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. All right, let's get to our guest here. Representative Shauna Bollock joins us, and she's also running for Secretary of State. Shauna, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It sounds like you guys have had an interesting last 24 hours up there, huh?
The weather is just crazy. It's just the extremes in Arizona, right? Have you had some of those? What are those dust storms? Because you're in the valley, right?
Yeah, we've had a few microbursts. I mean, I travel all over the state, so typically when I'm leaving, it starts raining. I was in Kingman on Saturday. It started pouring down rain. I had been in Kingman on Monday, and it started raining. So it's like, I need to go visit places where it starts raining.
Yeah, you just go around the state. And remember, back in the Dust Bowl era, there's the people that went around to bring the rain or whatever. You could do that. might be better than politics. It's crazy right now. I want to, first of all, you running for Secretary of State, I want to really commend you on the push on getting through every Republican who was actually in the legislature. And I have a lot of disagreements with Governor Ducey, but I will give him tremendous credit for signing this thing. Of course, they're going to try to get it on the ballot, and who knows when this thing will come to light, but the empowerment scholarship accounts, I think it's great.
Well, I think that was the best bill I voted for in my 4 years at the Capitol. I can tell you, having worked in the school choice movement for over 20 years, it feels like I have a bookend. So obviously, whenever I first started to work in the movement, I worked in a school in New York City where I was actually in the classroom seeing exactly what the problems were, went to graduate school, ended up working at the Heritage Foundation, where I ended up meeting my husband, working on school choice, and he had been litigating school vouchers up to the U.S. Supreme Court. So, you know, my husband started this, and the cool thing for Arizona I end up voting yes on it to expand the program. Now, the problem is, as you just mentioned, they're collecting signatures to try to put on the ballot. I worry they file some sort of injunction so the kids can't even try to even use the program and just put it right to the ballot so no one can use it. So let's hope and pray they don't get the signatures, and hopefully, you know, Arizona school children, all school children will have a chance to go to the school of their choice.
Yeah, I hope so. And, you know, my listeners know my story with public school to charter school, then to homeschooling, then to private school. And we are continuing down the road of the vouchers, the tax credits, or whatever you call it. Not the vouchers, the tax credits, because we're just really uncertain. So for right now, I think we're going to kind of go that direction. It's a lot. It's like almost a full-time job for my wife. It's scrounging for money. Tax credits.
Well, before I went to the Capitol, I worked for a school tuition organization. So I had focused on corporate fundraising and looking for scholarship money for low-income, special needs, and foster care kids. So that was kind of what I focused on before I got to the Capitol, was the corporate side of the scholarship tax credit program. But I can tell you, countless of kids over the years, I want to say, what is it, like 40, 50,000 plus kids have benefited from it in Arizona. So I'm very excited that we have the Empowerment Scholarship account. At one point, they were trying to combine the program. I said, please don't. I said, they will refer both programs and kill both programs. So I'm glad that they were smart enough to keep it separate.
Yeah, no, that's good. Let me ask you this, and we're talking with Shauna Bolick, who's running to be Arizona's next Secretary of State, and you don't have long, I mean, another 10, where are we at, 10 days? Two weeks? Are we at 2 weeks? Two-week point?
Who's counting?
Yeah. I mean, 90% of people are voting by early ballot, so it's happening here pretty quick. But why not stay? I mean, why did you feel so important to jump into the Secretary of State's race versus you're not termed out? You could have run, you know, gotten back down in the legislature. I mean, talk about that and what the Secretary of State really does. I know they handle elections, but what power do they have versus maybe the legislature and trying to fix it there?
Well, the legislature is the place where you go to do policy, and I promise to be someone who's policy-free when I am your Secretary of State. I will have great working relationships with the legislators. I've gotten lots of endorsements from them. So, Jeff, you're right. I could have stuck around for probably another 4 years in the House and potentially gone to the state Senate. In 2020, the Democrats tried throwing me off the ballot. They filed a lawsuit against me. It was a ballot access issue. I'm married to a judge, so we don't put our public address, our home address, on any public documents because we have a court order protecting this address.
Yeah.
So I'd be in direct violation of the court order if I did something like that. So after I had won the lawsuit that they had leveled against me, I did a public record request on the Secretary of State's office, just on my first and last name. And in those results that came back to me, I can see Rupali Desai, that's the person that Joe Biden just recently appointed to one of our courts, working with someone on the inside of Secretary Hobbs' office to throw me off the ballot even before they filed the lawsuit. So even back in the spring of 2020, I didn't feel like we had honest and fair elections. So I decided to step up and run for this position, knowing that I will, you know, uphold the law and make sure that everybody is treated the same. In my opinion, all of our election offices, it doesn't matter what level, they should all be treated like Switzerland. You shouldn't have to worry if there's an R, D, or an I behind your name, and I want to make sure that everybody moving forward, they don't get treated like I did. I don't want others being treated the same way that I did. I felt so strongly about it that I decided to put over 35,000 miles in my car, running around the state in my car, and three rental cars now to meet with potential primary voters.
Yeah, absolutely. And back to just that, you know, you don't have your address out there. I mean, we've seen the craziness with the Supreme Court and people showing up at the homes and all the threats. It's really insane nowadays that you can't even go to a restaurant, for example, in D.C., the Supreme Court justices. It's like we've lost that civility all around.
And, you know, back last year, I had sponsored a doxing bill to prevent people from releasing public identifying information because it was being done. Different people had come to my office and said, hey, you know, I work for a company and now I'm being doxxed by people online saying because I donated to a certain political candidate, they want me fired. I mean, I could go on to all the different issues that were brought before me before I decided to sponsor this bill, but we worked on it for about 2 years. We were trying to get it done in 2020, but obviously COVID shut the Capitol down. But we had more people even come forward and saying, please, please do this bill. And it wasn't a bill that I thought would benefit myself. It was stuff that, you know, our own constituents had asked for. Back in 2012, my husband was working at the Goldwater Institute, And some crazy people went on azcentral.com and in the public comment section released all the top staffers as well as the board of directors' home addresses and contact information. So we actually had to hire private security when I had little kids at our house just because of there was some crazy person going out there and putting our home address all over the place.
Wow. It's just insane.
And you're right, it's first. So I worry moving forward that we don't have good people stepping up to want to run for these offices just because of the nonsense that actually both political parties are doing. I had to put cameras all over our outside of our home on my own expense. I had received death threats. They even left a death threat for my for me over one of my husband's voicemail at work, and they had offered me DPS detail, and I said, that's okay. I said, three of us in the house can shoot back if they come out on property. They're like, ma'am, that's not a laughing matter. I said, I'm not laughing. I'm just telling you the way it is. And there's no reason why I should have to have private security to fulfill my duty as a state representative.
Yeah, and protecting yourself. I was talking about this last hour, just being able to, I was looking at the, you know, the mall shooting that, or the shooting, was it the mall that happened this weekend, and someone stepped up who had a firearm, yep. A good person stopped up to stop the bad person. And then we're hearing about the testimony from Texas on the Uvalde issue, where there's hundreds of police that were there. And I'm not bashing the police or anything, but in that situation, they didn't react. And what if someone had been there with a firearm to protect right on the spot?
And thank God that guy was there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just insanity all around. Okay, so let me ask you this. The issue of the Department of Justice suing Arizona over the, you have to show ID, you have to show proof of citizenship to vote. What happened there, and is there a role to play with Secretary of State on that issue? How do we secure the elections going forward from people who, quite frankly, they're from California and trying to vote here. They're from a foreign country.
Correct. Well, that was a good bill that Ducey signed into law this year. It would require any application for anybody who is trying to become a voter in Arizona, mark the appropriate box, yes, saying that they are a citizen of the United States, and they would have to actually verify that they were and show proof that they are a citizenship. I mean, this was a common sense bill. So obviously, the Department of Justice is coming in. We are trying to safeguard our elections. They're trying to roll us back into some dark ages. In my opinion, every state should require proof of citizenship to make sure that only U.S. citizens are voting in each state. But, you know, the Department of Justice is so weaponized right now. We're seeing it in so many different levels of things that they're trying to do or not do. And, you know, that was just a safeguard that was brought forward this year. As you may know, we had filed between the House and Senate over 100 election integrity bills just this legislative session. And as you also know, most of them were not all heard and a lot of them were killed. I think we had about two dozen bills pass out of the House that were election integrity in March. And most of those went over to the Senate and all died. You would have to ask some of the state senators why they decided to kill some of our bills. We were trying to put further safeguards on our elections. And as you may know, last legislative session, we got through a handful of election integrity bills. I want to say that between the 2 years, we got maybe not quite two dozen. Making sure that it's easier to vote, harder to cheat. We did things such as making sure that only legal votes are going to be counted, making sure that the voter rolls match who they say they are whenever they're voting by mail. For instance, if you are on what was once called the permanent voting list, now it's called the acting voting list. So if you're not voting in two consecutive elections, you would not just automatically receive a mail-in ballot. I mean, these are ways to clean up the rolls. Yeah. And obviously, the Democrats right now, they are trying to push something that's not so free and fair, even though their initiative is called Free and Fair Elections. Our side likes to call that AZ Corrupt Elections. They're trying to push through our Constitution onto the ballot in November. All of our election integrity bills that we have passed the last two legislative sessions, in addition to add H.R. 1 to our state constitution. So as you may know, these ideas are... you know, right with fraud, the fact that they want to allow people to do same-day voter registration, even though you have no idea, maybe they're not even citizens, you know, of our country, let alone someone who might not even be eligible to vote. I could go on. There's a list, I think, of like 26 or 27 pages that outlines exactly what this initiative would do. And, you know, Jeff, I'm happy that people are finally stepping up and saying they want to understand how the election process works. One good thing that we will have on our ballot in November is a ballot referral. And as you may know, because I think we discussed this in the past, we tried getting voter ID on all ballots through the legislature last year. And unfortunately, we had a few Republicans who opposed the idea. So thankfully, this year we have SCR 1012 that was pushed through. It's Arizona for Voter ID Act. It's easy putting legal ID on all ballots. As you may know, our mail-in ballots are not treating the same way as our vote-in-person ballots. So this is going to actually make sure that they are on the same level playing field. And it just requires people to, on their affidavits, to add either their last four digits of their Social Security number, their state's voter registration ID, or their date of birth onto their mail-in ballot. And if they match, then the signature will be validated. I mean, That's basic.
I mean, I can't fly without an ID. I can't check out a library book. Not that I go to the library much, but I mean, you can't do anything. You can't buy beer. You can't buy cigarettes. You can't buy your recreational marijuana, I assume, right? You need ID for all that, right?
Oh, I know. I mean, whenever I rescued my dogs, when I check into a motel, when I'm driving around the state or renting a car, I have to show an ID.
So what's the big deal? All right, we're talking with Shauna Bolick, who's running for Secretary of State. Final point here, have you heard much about some ballot issues going on around the state? I have a friend of mine who sent in a picture of a ballot. He's a former state representative. Former state representative Bob Thorpe sent me a picture over the weekend. He got a ballot with all the city races in it, but he lives in the county. Have you been hearing about that?
Yes. Well, I haven't heard about that one specifically. I can tell you in Pinal County, they sent out ballots without the city council races for Eloy, Casa Grande, et cetera. So they're sending out a separate ballot down in Pinal County. That was big news a week or two ago. I had seen Tiffany Shedd whenever I was on a campaign event a few weeks ago, and she was even telling me that her voter registration card had the wrong address. Like, they put the wrong city on it. So she lives in Eloy, but they sent her husband, I believe, a ballot with Casa Grande, even though they don't live in Casa Grande. So I don't know what our election offices are doing. I don't understand who's approving these things, but obviously someone needs to go in and clean this up. And, you know, I've been a workhorse at the Capitol. I've not been a show horse. So I plan on, you know, rolling up my sleeves. And what I have told a lot of people, I want to be sued when I am your next Secretary of State. I want to be able to clean the voter rolls. And I've got most of the AG candidates who are running for the Republican nomination, they have all promised that they will sue me to make sure that that actually gets done.
Wow, you're asking for it. Please sue me. All right. Shauna Bolick, who wants to be sued when she's Secretary of State. Hey, Shauna, I wish you the best. You got not very 2 weeks from tomorrow, I guess, is what I was looking for. August 2nd coming up here. I will have someone on tomorrow, George Califf from Davit Orbital, to talk about how many ballots have come in. So far, so I'm not sure there, but they're flying in. So,
Can I talk one thing with your audience real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So one thing that people have asked to do is basically to help figure out ways to, be poll watchers and poll workers. If they go to azelectionprotection.com, they can sign up to be part of that process. This is in response to how Virginia won in 2020-21. There's a website called whoscounting.us, so whoscounting.us, and it's the Citizen's Guide to Building an Election Integrity Infrastructure, which means we need people who are going to be poll watchers and poll observers to be part of the whole process.
Okay, good. Do that, folks, because it's really important going forward. All right, Shauna, we wish you the best, and we'll talk with you soon.
Awesome. Take care, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Bye.
Shauna Bolick running for Secretary of State. Olivia's back here with me real quick before we go to break. We mentioned this in the first hour of the program, but I did not mention it. Jumped right into the second hour. I don't think I mentioned it. We have a giveaway.
Oh, yeah.
I threw you for a loop there, yeah.
I did not know what to expect. It's going to be our grand giveaway. You have all the way till next Wednesday. I think we'll be drawing it on Thursday.
Yep, next Wednesday. Now, because we're going to add to this every day. We'll add. I think we got something great with Gettles, who's coming on board here next month, but I'm so excited about getting them going early, and they gave some great should we call it a prize or giveaway that we'll talk about tomorrow in the program. But for today, we've got our friends at Timberline Firearms and Training.
What it is range time and a firearm rental. It's about a $35 value, so definitely enter. Oh, go to talkwithjeff.com.
Talkwithjeff.com. Click on sponsors and giveaways, and go ahead and enter your information there and put a comment.
It's super easy, and it's definitely going to be worth it if you win.
Yeah, we like reading your comments, too, so get those in. All right, go to talkwithjeff.com right now. That's talkwithjeff.com. Coming back with more. Don't go anywhere. Back in a few. Welcome back. Jeff Horvitz here. Olivia's here with me as well. And we've got our big giveaway up at talkwithjeff.com. Please get sign up for that. And
we're adding something like
every day. Right now we got Timberline Firearms and Training. By the way, I want to tell you about our great sponsor, the Blind Brothers. And if you're looking for blinds, shutters, or shades, the Blind Brothers, they can help you out. They're going to lay out all your options, not just the most expensive ones. That way it'll fit your style, fit your budget, keep the blinding sun out, which we've got some blinding sun going. Call the Olivia, put down the Blind Brothers. We really need to get this really need to take care of this. Call them up. This is the people I use, and so many listeners have used as well. You go to theblindbrothers.com, or you can call 928-634-2423. That's 928-634-2423. And mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. You can get half off installation in addition to any other advertised specials. All right, fast-moving show. This show is just zipping on by. We do have with us, he's Arizona Communications Director with the RNC here, Ben Peterson. Ben, how are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. So what do you think? Been talking a lot of the show. I had Ryan Gradusky on earlier. We were talking about kind of the long shots, and he actually mentioned Congressman Tom O'Halloran here. And I'm in CD2. You know, he's supposed to be my congressman. You think this is a big pickup here in Arizona?
It certainly is. So thank you, first of all, for having me. The RNC is on the ground here in Arizona. Republicans are building a movement of patriotic Arizonans that is going to replace Tom O'Halloran and Mark Kelly on Election Day this year. Republicans are incredibly energized to win in 2022, and the path to victory runs through northern Arizona.
What I don't get is here we are in a state that is a red state. I don't care what people say. And we have five Democrats representing us in the House out of our nine seats. It's kind of crazy that it got to this point. And could we see it flip back or even go to a 6-3 split?
I think that's going to happen. This is going to be a great year for Republicans. We have great candidates running. Just last week, news broke that Republicans have the largest voter registration advantage over Democrats in Arizona since 2018. Republicans are now significantly outnumbering Democrats. And the GOP is making gains with independent voters as well. So we're feeling confident going into this election.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, CD2 is, first of all, the size of a lot of states. So I don't think people, especially back east, they don't realize how big this district actually is. I don't know how any one person can actually represent it, but it is what it is. I was surprised we didn't pick up that 10th seat this election or census. But nothing we can do, but we could see in 10 years from now, we could have, in the 10 to 11 range as far as representatives. We'll see. Maybe split up some of these larger districts.
For sure. Absolutely. The fact is, you know, midterm elections are a referendum on the party in power, and Democrats have full control of Congress and the White House right now. And so they're on the hook for this record inflation, for these gas prices, and for the crisis at the border.
On inflation, it's impacting everybody. We talk about it nearly every day here on the show, Ben, and it's just killing people, especially in rural Arizona, when they have to drive long distances to go to work or to go shopping or whatever. Biden's totally out of touch. He's out over there begging Saudi Arabia when we have all this capacity in the country. Heck, we got a lot of capacity here in Arizona when it comes to coal, and they managed to destroy even that industry. Is this the number one thing you're hearing on voters' minds right now? Is this the number one issue, especially in our state?
Yes. Through the RNC's data-driven ground game, we are talking to thousands of voters every week, and we're hearing from them that inflation and the economy are number one issue. The border falls close behind. They're ready to make a change. And you're so right about the gas prices. Gas prices just last month were breaking all-time historic records in Arizona. They remain outrageously high. According to AAA today, the statewide average is $4.83 a gallon. It's even higher in Yavapai County and Coconino County. Let's remember that the week that President Trump left office, gas cost just $2.40 a gallon in Arizona. So since Biden and Democrats have taken over, the price has more than doubled. And that's impacting rural Arizona especially. It's one reason why we actually launched voter registration drives at gas stations beginning in Arizona this spring. And we've held these in different parts of the state.
And what they're doing, Ben, I mean, it's not helping. Okay, they brought gas prices down just a little bit over the past month, but it's like I got excited in Camp Verde when I was getting gas in Yavapai County. It was like 4:30. I get up to Flagstaff's 4:85, but nobody should be excited about. I shouldn't be excited about 4:30 gas. And I think it's a temporary decrease we're seeing because Biden's out there dumping from the strategic reserve. I think it's really short-sighted.
Exactly. Well, let's remember, before Biden and Democrats took over, America was energy independent. Joe Biden and Mark Kelly and Tom O'Halloran have made us dependent on foreign dictators and our adversaries. And that's why you see Joe Biden fist bumping the Saudi leader over the weekend. Mark Kelly and Tom O'Halloran have voted against the Keystone XL pipeline. They've helped shut down American energy production. And now they're draining the strategic oil reserves, and that oil is going to foreign countries like China. Why are Democrats sending American oil to countries like China?
Yeah, exactly. I think you cut out there for a second. We're talking with Ben Peterson, who, and keep in mind, folks, I'm in Camp Verde today, and where I'm at, the phone reception is always a little funky. But Ben, are you still there?
Still here.
Okay, Ben's the Arizona Communications Director with the RNC. Let me end on this, Ben, today, because I think we're going to have you back quite a bit, especially come August 3rd as we get deeper into the general election, get through this primary. Do you have a lot of places that are opening up throughout the state as far as a lot of events planned, things like that, where people are going to be able to, I think people are pretty energized going forward. I know Coconino County, there's a field office that's opening up there on the state side. Are you going to be around the state, especially in the rural communities?
Yes. We are really excited to hit the ground running after the primary. We've been behind the scenes building a machine that will be ready to go come general election. And there will be RNC victory offices throughout Arizona, including community centers and headquarters for our Get Out the Vote effort. We're already fully operational with our data-driven ground game. It's just going to grow and expand from there.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see it out. I mean, this is just crazy times where there should really be no question. I had a guest last hour, Ben, and we were talking about kind of the long shots around the country with Ryan Gradusky. He's a Substack writer, and there should be no question about the enthusiasm in trying to make a change, but yet there is. I mean, they're pegging the Senate race. I know you're more on the House side, but they're pegging the Senate race as maybe he was, at least, as it could still be kind of a toss-up there. Although I think the House, the odds are very good. It's going to be an overwhelming wave that's coming, and it should be. I mean, people should be so frustrated with the people that are in power and how badly they've messed this whole thing up. But some people are still, I hope you're getting through to those people, I guess is where I'm going with this, Ben, that wake up and let's get out there and change this thing.
Exactly. Democrats have done just an awful job. Their bad ideas fueled this inflation, raised the price of gas. By every measure, Biden and Tom O'Halloran and Mark Kelly are failing Arizona.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be ready to go. There's a real clear contrast in this election between Republican leadership and Democrat failure. And we're going to be out there knocking on doors, making phone calls, and making sure that we reach out to every voter this election. My message to Republican voters is get out and vote. We have the opportunity to take back these seats, take back Arizona's Senate seat. We need everyone to go vote.
All right. Hey, I appreciate it. And we'll talk with you again soon, most likely after this primary coming up.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And we'd love to hear from you. Go ahead and send an email. We'll have to get to all these tomorrow, Olivia, because we just burned through the time.
I know. We always say we will, and then...
Whew. man. Thank you to Ben. Thank you to Ryan Gradusky. Thank you to Representative Shauna Bullock. This week, though, we have Congressman Paul Gosar. We have Carrie Lake. We have George Califf from Data Orbital tomorrow is going to let us know how many ballots have actually come out or been returned. So we're looking forward to that. Glenn Lee. So we've got a lot of people coming up. So I hope you'll stick around every day. And I hope you'll subscribe to that podcast. It is free. Sign up for the podcast. Go to talkwithjeff.com or look up the Jeff Orvitz Show on any of your favorite podcast providers. Spell Orvitz for everybody because I know sometimes that trips people.
O-R-A-V-I-T-S.
V as in Victor, not a B.
V, not a B.
V as in Victor.
So, somebody right now is probably like, oh my gosh.
Oh my God, that's why I couldn't find it. Yeah, but thank you. Those numbers have grown tremendously. And don't forget to go to talkwithjeff.com. We've got our big giveaway we're going to add to. We've got Timberline Firearms and Training on there right now with $35 value gun rental and lane time or range time, I should say. I think that's the correct way. Tomorrow we're going to add a big one from our good friends at Gettles. We've got food stuff going on. Oh, speaking of food, don't forget to go to Sportsman's Bar and Grill. We absolutely love Sportsman's Bar and Grill in Flagstaff, up at the Bash's there, in the Bash's Shopping Center right up there by the hospital.
It's so good.
Great specials. And don't forget, tomorrow, all day long, they've got Taco Tuesday. So go check that out, Taco Tuesday tomorrow. All right, join us tomorrow. We've got George Califf, like I said. We'll hit on how many people have voted. We'll also keep an eye on these election issues, like getting the wrong ballot, like Bob told us about earlier. We were talking about that.
I know.
He got the wrong ballot. How hard is it? If you got any cases like that, if you're getting the wrong ballot, email talkwithjeff@icloud.com. We want to see that. Snap a picture of the thing and send it to us front and back. Talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Have a great, safe night. Be back here tomorrow. See you soon.